Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, that means we have about an hour to go, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and we are into Saturday now here on the El Pacifico. And our friends and neighbors and loved ones and trusted aides back east. AIDES. God, what an idiot.
You know what AIDS, like an aide to the president?
Yeah, but you're saying AIDS.
Look at, man, everything doesn't have a weird freaking meaning, okay? Anyway, it's near closing time. Anyway, 4 a.m. On the East Coast is when we call it a night, or a morning, if you will. And then we're back at it again tomorrow evening, and I say tomorrow, I mean this evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on Phil TV in HD on philhendryshow.com. Not on our radio network. We're back on Monday night on the radio network. But radio-wise, we do a local show here on the West Coast. All right. 877-876. Phil, this is our News and Information Hour with me, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. As we look at some of the news that has been of interest to us, and, you know, it must be, to be the president of the United States, looking at unemployment numbers, it must be like being in entertainment, looking at the ratings, you know?
Yeah, I was just thinking that, you know.
The fact that that when you're in the entertainment business, or you're in the business of gaining an audience for whatever reason, whether it's radio or television or film, you're always looking for either box office or ratings. And when those ratings numbers come out, of course, you sweat it. And when your financials come out. So being the president of the United States, I guess the jobless rate is your ratings.
Yeah, except the ratings, you want to be high, and the unemployment, you don't.
Exactly. You want the numbers to go down, man. It's completely the opposite. And that's exactly what they did do, the unemployment rate dipping to its lowest level in nearly 3 years last month. Good news that on Friday rippled through rival presidential campaigns whose prospects could hinge on the pace of the economic recovery. Unemployment has declined in four consecutive months to 8.5%, its lowest level since the president's second month in office. However fragile, it is the kind of trend that Obama's counting on. Obama's advisors reacted to the report with hard-earned caution. They have not forgotten 2010's recovery summer, which began with a spate of presidential groundbreakings meant to highlight the healing effects of the economic stimulus, only to have the jobless rate go up, not down. They are also concerned about economic forecasts, indicating that things could get worse before they get better. A surge in oil prices, a recession in Europe, or a slowdown in China could derail the jobs recovery, and with it, Obama's reelection hopes. It's an interesting thing, the unemployment rate, and it's a question that has been asked over and over, and the answer always comes back the same. Presidents don't really have a whole hell of a lot to do with unemployment rates, folks. Presidents don't really have a whole hell of a lot to do with unemployment rates. What has to do with unemployment rates is the normal cycle of business. Now, yes, in the minds of some, government can speed up or slow down the so-called normal cycle of business. But if you know anything about business, and I don't think you have to know a lot, if you know anything about American business, it's an extremely competitive environment. There's no question. And one of the things that takes place is that when one businessman says to another businessman, boy, times sure are tough, I don't know if I can keep up the hiring. I may have to lay off some people. When a guy like that telegraphs what's going on in the very minuscule interior of his business world, what he's doing basically is he's giving a whole lot of information to a rival or two or three or ten. In other words, there's lots and lots and lots of business that's being done in the United States. And there's a lot of business being done around the world. And where one guy says that he can't cut it or hack it, and he's got to fire people, and he's got to do this and that, there's another guy standing there waiting to suck all that business up. So, you see, what we do in our country, and perhaps they do this around the world, is we focus on all these guys that are having a hard time. And I understand. I'm not knocking them. I understand. But the more they talk about how much of a hard time they're having, the more there's somebody else out there listening, you know.
Why isn't that guy saying something?
Why isn't he saying something what?
You know, why isn't he saying my business is doing really good?
He's not going to. Why should he say that? You can let us, stockholders can see the prices. The stockholders can see the kind of business that's being done. They can see the numbers. The people who watch the markets, they see the numbers. The guy doesn't have to go out there and start trumpeting how good he's doing. There's all kinds of other people going to do it for him. The news isn't going to report that. The news is because you don't have a lot of savvy people reporting the news, you know.
Well, you're saying like a guy that's business news is too stupid. Yeah, it seems wrong.
Yeah, I mean, put on a Wall Street Journal, everything like that.
What about the Wall Street Journal?
Don't they know nothing?
Yeah, they know a lot of stuff. But who reads the Wall Street Journal? Other business people. The average guy out in the streets of America, the average people listen to talk radio. They don't listen to, they don't read the Wall Street Journal, man, any more than they read any newspaper. Okay? All they know is what is stuck under their nose. And I say that, I'm not talking about you guys listening, because you're listening to the Phil Hendry Show, which means there's something wrong with you. I mean,
yeah, no, you're smart.
Yes, you're smart. No, there's something real different about you. Let's put it that way. And so, you know, people that listen to talk radio on average are not, excuse me for saying this, they're not the most, they're not the brightest bulbs on the tree. Now, that's not saying, you know, what I mean by that is the really ideologically driven people. People are going to listen to it for entertainment purposes.
Now, you just call people a bunch of dumbass.
Not everybody. I'm saying people that are really ideologically driven are these people that are only going to read what they want to read. They're going to read what's going to support their point of view. So here again, when you have the news focusing on bad economy, bad business, people being laid off, companies shutting down, okay, fine, that's great. But you don't understand, and I say you, I mean the average person that's going to buy into that doesn't understand how business, what the business climate is about, what business, what competition between different business entities means, what's really going on out there. Some guy says, I can't hack it, and I've got to close my doors, and I have to do this, I have to do that. All that is more information for someone who's not about to close his doors. He's not about to contract. He's not about to do anything other than make more money, probably the money that jackass was going to make if he hadn't shut down. Now, that's a fact. I'm not imagining that. That happens. Oh, sure, it may mean that there's a few people that are getting fat off of all the weaklings. That's the way. But the point is, if there's one thing, you know, what do you think the most valuable thing in the world is, bud?
What do you mean?
What do you think the most valuable thing on earth is?
Gold.
Okay, you say gold. Robert?
You think gold?
I'm not going to answer. What do you think?
Diamonds.
Diamonds. You say diamonds, you say gold. You know what I say it is? Information.
What? The information, that's not gold or anything.
What do you mean, information?
Information is the most important and most valuable thing on earth. Information. That's what it's all about now. That's what it's all about now. And if you look at where technology is going, where is it going? It's going toward the delivery of information faster and more accurate and more complete and more detailed than ever before. And when you have information that the other guy doesn't have, or you have it before him, you have a leg up in business and really in every other way. So that's what's going on in business in America right now. What you're seeing is the shell shock that a lot of companies are going through because of this economy. But what you're not really seeing, what you're not being pointed in the direction of, and what you're not focused on are the people that are making the money. And there's always somebody making money. Okay? The people that are hiring, the people that are expanding, the people that are, you know. And this is, unfortunately, what makes the world go around, man.
Yeah, but what if the people are getting their ass kicked? They look like a bunch of losers.
Exactly. They don't look like losers to you or to me, but they look like losers to their competitors. When the guys are sitting around one morning in the boardroom saying, did you hear about, yeah, he closed his doors, a real loser. That guy is. He can't hack it. Get out of the race, man. I mean, it's hardcore, you know, but that's what's happening. What do you think the Japanese are saying when Detroit started having all the problems? What do you think they were saying? Oh, that's really too bad. They were saying, look at these bums. You bums can't hack it. We're over here in Tokyo, man. We're, we're gaming your ass. We're beating you at your own game.
Yeah, but they don't even make Cadillacs or anything.
Yeah, well, they make Lexus.
Well,
so what if they don't make Cadillacs? Who the hell's buying a Cadillac? I wouldn't buy a Cadillac. Well, are they a sponsor?
Maybe.
I love Cadillac. I'd love them even more if they came back with the fins, man. That's what I... All right, so the falling jobless rate is good news to Obama, but the reality will continue that presidents got nothing to do with how good or how bad business is. The more we think they do and the more we wring our hands like a bunch of grandmothers and worry about that stuff, I mean, the more we're going to get left behind. However, for Obama, it's great news. He can go out and he can get, you know, everybody jazzed about it. Now, you know, if it starts turning in the other direction, one of these days maybe we'll all get smart as consumers. Now, what's the story here? U.S. rescues Iranian hostages held by pirates. I can't wait to read you this one. This is beautiful. From Voice of America. It's coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What do you do?
The U.S. Navy rescued some Iranians that were held hostage by pirates after we were, quote, warned by Iran to stay out of the Persian Gulf. Yes, sure. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and online at philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, we have Margaret Gray and Bobby Dooley with us at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and tonight they're going to be showing off a couple of musical numbers that are being produced on behalf of our show. These will be songs that I guess you'd call these identifying jingles, and we have Margaret on the line. What would you call this kind of a song, Margaret?
This is very crowded out here. I think the best way to describe what we're going to do, they're identifiers, what we call IDs in radio. And so, you know, I will sing, and I've got a number of songs, and with me is Josh Caliban is with us. Josh?
Hi.
So Josh is here at the piano. And we're outside on the patio bar. It's very busy here tonight, but everyone is very excited to hear. And what I would do is, as long as I've got an audience, and, you know, we were talking last hour about Jason J. Delmonico being comfortable with an audience. And by the way, Phil, I'm going to just allow myself to forget that last hour ever occurred. All right?
Okay, fine.
That's all you have to say, huh?
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes.
All right. And Frank is here.
How you doing, young man?
Frank, how are you doing?
Phil, I'm better than Custer. And I just got a doers, I got water, and this guy at the bar is about as stupid.
I'll do it, Frank, all right? Will you take...
Well, let me talk to Frank while you get ready, okay?
What?
Let me talk to Frank while you get ready, okay?
How are you, young man?
I'm good, Frank. So what's going on? What were you saying about the guy at the bar?
Oh, they got a bartender here. She's about as stupid as the day is. I said, give me three fingers of Dewars in a glass. I said, you know, and she... Look, she's staring at me, right? I said, listen. I said, you know what a glass is, right? And she goes, yeah, uh-huh. And a big guy. You know, she's about 6'2", so...
I have to tell people, Frank has gender confusion, which means that he calls men she and he calls women he. And
I'm sorry?
Nothing. Go ahead.
You know, anyway, she's a big guy, about 6'2" or 6'4", so immediately I start thinking I'm dealing with some kind of a lummox, some kind of an idiot, you know. Maybe she plays ball for UCLA or something, I don't know. I said, have you got a glass, a regular glass? And she's looking at me like... I don't know.
Watch your language.
I'm sorry. I said, okay, get a glass. Put ice in the glass. And I'm literally having the leader by the hand, okay? And I said, by the way, where's the regular bartender, Rudy? And she said, no, Rudy's not here. I said, well, where is she? She goes, I don't know. All right, put some glass.
All right, hurry up, will you, Frank?
What?
Hurry up.
Okay, but anyway, but two fingers of doers, and this Jack.
Well, I guess he screwed the drink up. Frank drinks doers, as you know, Phil, and what did he put in?
He put that Johnny Red. I will kill the next man that I will kill, I mean, I will murder anybody.
He hates that Johnny Walker. I mean, he hates it like it's poison.
All right. So we're going to have a song, huh?
We're going to have a song, and this is called On the Phil Hendry Show. And then I will roll out the finished product, okay? Phil?
Okay, great.
Josh, 1, 2, in through the piano, yeah. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 2, 3. Oh, the Phil Hendry Show, the Phil Hendry Show. There's so much fun on the Phil Hendry Show. Every day I wake up... spill that on me, you dumbass. He just spilled something on... That's not... What is that?
I don't know. It's... Oh, my God.
What is that?
It's a cream or something. Some kind of a cream. Oh, God.
Well, what God is it?
Oh, I think it's dip.
Oh, my God. Someone spilled dip on me.
Okay, can we forget the dip and just get to the song?
Huh?
Well, you forget the dip and let's get to the song.
What do you mean the dip? You talking about Frank?
No, the dip that's on you.
Oh, yeah. Let's just get to it, will you, Josh? You got the piano?
Yes, I have it in the car.
Don't talk that loud. Everyone's going to think you're a fruit. All right, here we go, Phil. This is the song that I like, and it's to the tune of Your Lost Little Girl by the Doors. Or the Doors, I guess.
Yeah, I like that Doors.
Hold on. Here we go. The Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show. Wow, 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 wow. There's a little, the echo effect, Phil. Did you get that?
Yeah.
The Phil Hendry Show. Oh, wow. 2, 3, 4, and I love his show. Don't you? 2, 3, 1, 2, don't step on it. I like all the things that he do. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Okay. So, Phil, I turn it off. Turn that garbage off, will you? All right, Phil, what do you think?
I don't know. First of all, I don't know if you're going to get the permission from the Doors to be able to use that.
Don't worry about it. What'd you think of the words?
I like all the things that he do.
Well, let me see that. Where are the lyrics, Frank? I like all the things that he do. Oh, for God, all the dumbass. We'll have to correct that, Phil.
Okay. Otherwise,
Otherwise what? I think it's brilliant, and it uses, you know, the classic rock paradigm that I think is very, very important. What is the stink that I've got on me, Frank?
I think it's the dip. Jesus, that is disgusting.
No, I don't think this is dip at all. I think you know what I think this is. Because look at who's got a smile on his face.
Okay, that's all I want to hear, all right?
I didn't know we were still on the air.
Well, yes, you were. I don't even know if we have time for Bobby Dooley. I think we got a couple of minutes here. Is Bobby there? Hey, Frank?
Yeah.
Is Bobby Dooley there?
Bobby. What?
Bobby Dooley, is she there?
Hold on. Where's Bobby Dooley? I don't know. I think I saw her.
I could care less. I don't care if she lives or dies.
Hey, Bobby Dooley. Bobby Dooley. It's Frank Gray. Bobby Dooley. Here she
is. Hi, Phil.
Bobby, have you got time with your song?
Yes, I do. It's easy. It's to the Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood song. 1, 2, 3, and don't count it down the way I count it down. Get out of here, you cow. Call me a cow. That's right, and there's more where that came from. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. It's a lovely day in the neighborhood, a lovely day in my neighbor. Could you be my Phil Hendry fan? It's a lovely day in the neighbor. It's a lovely day up my neighbor's. Well, I got that wrong.
Yeah, I think you did get that wrong.
Well, I'm sorry.
Sing it again.
It's a lovely day in the neighborhood, a lovely day up the neighbor's. Oh. Why is this dirty? Because you wrote it.
You know what? You're going to have to rework that, and we'll try and...
Can we do it after the break?
I don't know, but rework it and see what we can do. What a cluster, you know what. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, is that dip? I don't think so. We'll be right back.
Oh, my God. It is a dip. It's a John. I'm sorry. It's a lovely day in the neighborhood. A lovely day. A lovely day with your... Oh.
Phil Hendry.
What?
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
I just saw this thing, and thank you, Bobby and Margaret, again for a very gutsy attempt. I guess we can redo that at some point on the Phil Hendry jingle. Welcome back here at our News and Information Hour. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, I just saw this story here. Ron Paul and Mitt Romney are in it for the long haul. Now, I was theorizing out loud that Ron Paul couldn't possibly believe he's going to be elected president. I don't say that. I don't mean any disrespect by that. I mean actual respect. I think that he's smart enough to know that he's just that far enough out of the mainstream that he's not going to be elected president. I think he's smart enough to know that if he's got some oddball followers, you know.
Yeah, what I was going to say, he's got a weird ones. People are not going to want to be there.
Yeah, I wouldn't support Ron Paul because I don't want anybody to think I'm weird, you know.
People already think you're weird.
You know, why don't you shut up, man?
Yeah, just back off for a minute, okay? Hold on.
They do.
Yeah, okay. You know what? Can I hit him?
No, you can't hit him. Shut up, bud.
Yes, that's a very good point, actually, that Robert makes. I mean, there's a perception. When you say, I support Ron Paul, people may think you're some kind of a weird ass. Seriously. When I hear people say they support Ron Paul, I start wondering, well, what exactly? I know that you are a strict so-called constitutionalist. I know what the hell that means. You may not even know what that means. I mean, right by the Constitution. Do you understand that there's a difference of opinion as to what a strict constructionist interpretation of the Constitution is? There's an interpretation that is applied to the Constitution that's different from basically every human being that looks at it. It's ridiculous to start talking about how I'm a strict constructionist, this and that. Oh, my ass. You find me, I can find any four guys that claim that they're that, and they got four different views of the Constitution. So don't give me this stuff. The Constitution is very much a document that has to be handled in terms of the contemporary society in which we live. It is interpreted through the eyes of a contemporary Supreme Court, and that's just the way it's going to be, and that's the way it's always been. Grow up and live in the modern world and quit living out in fantasy land. Anyway, having said all of that bullcrap, which is basically what it is, Ron Paul can't be that dumb. Does he think he's going to get elected president?
Yeah, he probably thinks he will.
I don't know. I agree with you. I don't think he is.
I don't think he believes he's going to be president. I think he's going to stay in this thing long enough. He'll stay in it to the bitter end so he can get his message out, period. Plain and simple. Whatever that may be, libertarian, low tax, low government, no this, no that, I don't like. Whatever, he will continue to hammer home these points of view. And he'll say, I can't tell people what to say. I can't tell people what to think. If they're going to say, if they're going to sound like idiots in my name, that's just the way it's going to be. You're going to have to be smart enough to understand. I get all of that, man. You know, I work in media. And in the media, there's a couple of ways of going about things. You can say, this is how I do my show. This is what. And if people misunderstand, then that's their problem. They're too stupid. And that's a valid point of view. But you're going to have to take what you get as the result of that. And what you get as the result of that is basically a smaller percentage of the audience. If you say, this is what I do, and I'm not going to, you know, this and that, then yes, you are sacrificing, you are intentionally sacrificing the larger group for the people who really get what you're, and that's how you're going to make your living. If you say, on the other hand, I want to embrace all people, then you make things as clear as you possibly can, and you make yourself as accessible as you possibly can, and you say as many things as you can to endear yourself to as many people as you can, and that's how you do that thing. Well, politics is no different. Politics is no different. Now, once you get that big audience, you're going to have to keep delivering the same way you were delivering. In politics, however, once they get that big voter block, then they get into the White House, and then they say, okay, great, now we got all these cats supporting us. Now I'm going to do my thing, and that's what pisses off voters. Well, I think personally it's time for voters to wake up a little bit.
Yeah, because that's how it's always been.
That is how it's always been. So voters are going to have to wake up and smell the green tea. All right. Here's the thing I wanted to read. U.S. rescues Iranians held hostage by pirates. This is pretty funny because the Iranians had told the U.S. Navy to stay the hell out of the Persian Gulf. A U.S. Navy ship has rescued 13 Iranians being held hostage by pirates in the Arabian Sea days after Iran warned U.S. vessels not to return to the Persian Gulf. The U.S. Navy announced Friday it had detected the pirate skiff alongside the Iranian fishing vessel, the Al Malai, on Thursday after receiving a distress call from the Iranian ship. The Navy said a team of military personnel from the destroyer USS Kidd boarded the Iranian vessel, or Dihau, I guess is what it's called, and detained 15 pirates who were holding the Iranians hostage. The Navy said the Iranian vessel had been under the control of the pirates for more than a month and was being used as a headquarters for pirate operations. It said the hostages are believed to have been forced to help with piracies. A U.S. Navy spokeswoman told the Voice of America on Friday that the U.S. naval team was aware before the rescue that the Dihau, I don't know how to pronounce that.
Let me see that. Dihau.
Let me see. Yeah, it's Dihau.
Great, thank you. You guys both told me something I already know. A U.S. Navy spokeswoman told the Voice of America on Friday that the U.S. naval team was aware before the rescue that the Dihau was flying an Iranian flag. Lieutenant Rebecca Reberich says vessels are obligated to assist any distressed sailors, regardless of nationality. International law. Good for our Navy. Good for you guys. Reberich said the head of the Iranian crew expressed his sincere gratitude to the U.S. Navy, saying he feared that without the U.S. assistance, his crew would have been held hostage for months. The Navy said the Iranians were given food and medical care and were released wearing USS Kidd embroidered hats. Navy officials say the sailors are now on their way home and most likely not aware of the recent tensions between Tehran and Washington. Iran has recently threatened to close the Straits of Hormuz in the Persian Gulf and warned the U.S. not to operate aircraft carriers in the area, something the U.S. routinely does. Good. U.S. officials have made clear that operations will continue as usual in the Gulf. U.S. State Department spokeswoman Victoria Nuland said Friday the U.S. had not communicated with Iran about the rescue that she called a humanitarian. The Iranians protested on its last voyage through Hormuz. The John C. Stennis Carrier Strike Group just rescued this Iranian Dihau from pirates, said Nuland. The pirates, believed to be Somalis, are in detention at sea on the USS on the U.S. aircraft carrier, the USS John C. Stennis. How about that?
They look like the biggest bunch of douchebags.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, that made them, that's what I call, that's a double-down douche, you know.
Double-down on the douche, huh? No kidding, man. That made them look like the biggest suckers and saps. Well, good for our Navy. They, in you know, observation of international law, they got a distress call. They went out. They helped. They saved the lives of these individuals, the people on the ship, and we're getting this from the Navy. We're very, very grateful. One of the crew members, the head of the crew, said that he feared that they would be in captivity for months. And the Navy then gave them food, medical care, released them wearing USS Kidd embroidered Navy hats, which I don't know how that'll be received when they get home. And they get home wearing these U.S. Navy hats, and somebody's got to say to them, you know, don't you know America's the great Satan? Again? I thought we were over that. No, they're the Satan now. I thought we got through that. Nope. Let me see that hat. Can I have it? No, it's mine. No, I you know. The Ayatollah, he wants one of those hats. You go, no, I can't have it. He's the Ayatollah. Okay. What if that Ayatollah wants a hat?
Are you kidding me? An Ayatollah? They're not aware to wear no Navy hat. They got to wear that, like, turban, don't they?
I don't know. What do they wear?
They wear, like, a big turban hat.
I think they'd probably go to hell and wear a Navy hat.
I'm kidding, okay?
Well, still.
Yeah, they'd probably go to hell. In their minds, they'd go to hell wearing a USS Navy hat. Anyway, I think that's a beautiful thing. And, you know, a strong Navy. People always talk about navies. Well, how important is a Navy, you know? Well, England. Take a look at England. You know how big England is, right?
Yeah.
Little tiny dinky country. That little tiny dinky country, because it had a big badass Navy, went around the world and captured all kinds of, you know, stuff and made it into an empire, you know?
Yeah, but that wasn't right, man.
Well, yes, you're right, it wasn't right. But what I'm saying to you is, a little people say, how did a little tiny country master all of that stuff? They had a big, badass Navy. England had one hell of a Navy. They still have a pretty good Navy. But their Navy back in those days, man, they went anywhere they wanted, however they wanted, when they wanted, who they wanted. Nobody's going to tell them any different. And they went everywhere. You got to have a strong Navy. If you're doing business the way America does business, you better have a strong Navy, man.
Yeah, but we ain't making no empire or nothing.
Well, we shouldn't make an empire, but we do business with a lot of different countries. We got a whole bunch of enemies. I mean, you know, we're out there in the world, man. We want to go where we want to go. We don't want to sit back here holding onto our asses, afraid to step foot out of our front door. It's kind of like living in a bad neighborhood, you know? You walk out there, you're afraid you're going to get mugged. You can't do that. You can't live like that.
Bill, I have a big Navy to do that.
You got to have a badass Navy to do that. Yeah, we go out and we, hi, how you doing? We don't mean anybody any harm, but if you screw with us, well, we'll just have to blow your country to kingdom come, and we can do that with one submarine. Thank you.
Yeah, you tell me about a submarine.
You better believe it, man. One U.S. submarine can take an entire country off the map. Just remove it. Just one submarine.
What?
Yes. Yes. One U.S. sub could take a country like, oh, I don't know, Pakistan. Remove it. Just, you know.
You mean it'd, like, kill everybody?
It would kill everyone, and it would take the physical thing called Pakistan. It would just turn it into, like, soup.
Man.
I think. I'm not sure. All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show with our final segment here. Don't forget, philhenryshow.com. We'll have our show log up on the site after the show tonight. Don't forget to register. To enter the drawing for a free BSP for the month of February, which is Phil History Month. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here. And we're here every night until 1 on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Again, a big welcome to our new affiliate in Seattle, KVI. And welcome to all of you guys, our backstage pass members. We are very appreciative of you and all of you listening to the show. And don't forget, as I mentioned, we're giving away our free BSP, and next month is Phil History Month. So we got a lot of stuff to look forward to, you know, a lot of stuff. It's not going to make you any smarter, but, you know.
More laughs.
Yeah, we're about the laughs. That's all. what else is there? Yeah, I mean, you think I'm going to try and educate you? Forget it. You know.
Yeah, don't you want to be, like, educational?
With an idiot like you sitting there? No, there's no way it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, right.
Hey, bud, you think I'm going to be doing an educational show with you sitting there going, you're going to be educational?
Man, we got two of the biggest dumbasses sitting there. You can't do that.
I'm not saying you guys are dumbasses. I'm just saying, what do you mean educational? Are you out of your mind?
We got a responsibility to the public.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, pull the other one, man. We got a responsibility. I got a responsibility. This is my responsibility, okay? I got to somehow find a way to entertain this audience at night. I got to do it to the point where it makes a couple of stations happy, so that maybe they sell a couple of spots, so that maybe they make a couple of dollars, so that maybe they're grateful to me, so that maybe I hang on for another few months. That's the way I see it. That's it, man. Forget educate the public. Till what? People are going to believe what they want to believe. You ain't going to get them. You're not going to change their mind, man. I tell you, when we first started doing this show back in this you know, generation of the Phil Henry Show in June of 2007, we've been doing this show since 1990. But I took a year off and then came back with a news talk show. We were trying to do like a talk show, trying to do serious talk. Are you kidding? You know, there's only one kind of serious talk radio, and it's all owned by conservatives. That's it. And how serious it is anybody's guess. How intelligent it is even more anybody's guess. And really, quite frankly, how successful it is anybody's guess, with the exception of one or two shows. So what the hell, man? Ain't going to happen. So we're going to sit here and as much as we can try to make people laugh. And if we can't, then you know what we're going to do. We're going to kill ourselves.
What?
We are. We're going to take cyanide, and that will be it. We'll go out the way Hitler went out. We'll just, you know, if we can't have it the way we want to have it, we're going to go into the bunker, and we're going to... I'm kidding, bud. Look at him.
What, is it about to cry?
Why are you scaring me?
Oh, will you grow up? All right, listen. Video tracks stricken Mars probe. Check this out. The failed Russian Mars probe Phobos Grunt has been pictured moving across the sky by the Paris-based amateur astronomer Thierry Legault. I hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly. The spacecraft is seen moving left to right in the video. The bulbous shape of its fuel tanks and its outstretched solar panels are also easily discernible. Mr. Legault uses a sophisticated telescopic tracking system and captured similar imagery of NASA's defunct UARS satellite last year. Phobos Grunt is falling to Earth.
That's the one I'm going to go to Mars on, huh?
Well, I don't know. What do you mean, go to Mars on? It was a Martian probe, much like our Mariner, I guess. Or and what was the other one that we did, man? The big one, like 10, 12 years ago. I forget the name of it. But in any event, the Russians wanted to say, yeah, it was a Mars probe. They're going to send it up there, take some pictures. What the hell do they got to send one up? Aren't we sharing photographs?
Yeah, we do, but they probably don't trust. Maybe they don't think we went to Mars.
Or maybe they thought we landed on a different planet.
What? Are you telling me the Russians are that stupid?
You don't know.
I mean, why would they send up their own probe when we have gone there and we've done it? We're doing it way better than they could do it. And we've got all these photographs. We've got all this science. What a waste of money. What a waste of the country's. I guess in a lot of ways, though, it's a morale builder for the people, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they think... Russian people think, man, we can still go into outer space. We might have screwed all this other stuff up. Can't do no communism no more. At least we know how to go to space. That much we do know.
Yeah, that much they can do.
Okay. We screwed up communism. At least we can go into space. That much we do know.
What's so funny?
It is funny. Anyway, it is expected to re-enter the atmosphere in the next 6 to 9 days. Or excuse me, 8 to 9 days, and burn up. The Russian, what do you want, bud?
You do that on purpose.
What?
6'9".
Oh, grow up. The Russian, get out of here. The Russian Space Agency said on Friday that perhaps 20 to 30 pieces weighing no more than 200 kilograms, whatever that is, in total might survive the destructive dive and impact the surface somewhere. Far out, man. So we've got another satellite that's plummeting to Earth. And, you know, they call these things space probes, and maybe they do probe space, but when it comes to Earth, they don't care, man. They're coming straight at us. They'll burn us, man. They'll burn you down.
Yeah, man, but there ain't nothing probe about that.
No. Asked how easy it was to grab the shots with his telescopic system, Thierry told BBC News, the difficulty was very comparable to UARS. They had comparable speed, brightness, and size, except that I had to drive more than 800 kilometers to find clear skies in the French Riviera. Okay. The engineer has posted the video, and how he went about acquiring it is on his astrophotography website. These cats are all amateurs, you know. And
what's that mean?
It means they're not professionals. They're not professional astronomers. They're not professional scientists in any way. It could be that this guy does some other job, you know.
Well, what do you think he does?
I don't know. You have to look him up, you know.
You mean like he could be like working, he maybe working the liquor counter at Vaughn's?
Yeah, he could be working a liquor counter at Vaughn's, sure. Not that they have a Vaughn's in France, but it's comparable.
Yeah, well, it was comparable.
Yeah, maybe he works the liquor counter at the French supermarket. But when he goes home at night, he is Mr. Legault Astronomer. As it encounters more and more air, so its descent will accelerate. So this mass, this spacecraft's mass, which at launch was just over 13 tons... but some 10 tons of this was fuel, is expected to use in the course of its mission to the Red Planet... it was expected to use 10 tons of fuel in the course of its mission to the Red Planet. However, that's not the case. The propellants are highly toxic, but they will almost certainly be consumed in the fireball that engulfs Phobos Grunt when it makes its death dive to Earth. So they're worried, well, with all of this fuel, and this thing is plummeting toward Earth, you know.
It's going to blow something up.
No, no. What they're saying, no, it won't blow anything up. What they're saying is it will be consumed in the fireball. So this thing's going to break apart. As it breaks apart, it's going through the atmosphere. It's incredibly high heat. It burns this thing up, and it will ignite the fuel as well. So if there's going to be a fireball, it'll be up in the sky someplace. We can expect the tanks to break up and release their contents. There will be a self-ignition of the UDMH, and if it does not all burn up, it will be so dispersed. There will not be a critical cut. Anyway, it's fine. Unless, of course, it lands on your house. Okay.
Yeah, good luck.
That's not very nice, bud. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Phil Henry and Dan Northcraft. And we're online at philhenryshow.com. Don't forget, we are on tomorrow night on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We will be on with our local Los Angeles show. So we certainly do hope that you guys join us for that. And then we'll see you on Monday night for the world-famous Phil Henry Show when we are back at it. Until then, good night from all of us here, and a very pleasant weekend, folks. See you on the KFI show tonight.
Phil Henry.